Well, then let's talk.
I'm Hugh Atchison, and this is Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot. This episode is taped in Athens, Georgia, in my apartment. Across the table from a gentleman who is a wonderful soul and has meant so much to Athens, Georgia over the years, and that's Michael Stipe. I can remember listening to REM way back when I was 12 years old, and them having such a seminal impact on life, and explaining the South from an outsider's perspective that was so needed in the 80s. And this conversation is like a conversation with a friend, with a very astute friend who is so artistic and so interesting and so layered that it's really enjoyable to pick his brain about anything. I'm sitting in my apartment in Athens, Georgia, looking at a backyard, and there's a man in front of me who means a lot to this town and a lot to me in a lot of ways because of Athens, and it's Michael Stipe. Michael, thank you for being here.
Hi, Hugh. Thank you.
So you are kind of splitting your time these days between dear old Athens and New York. It's good to be back. You've been back since Christmas?
Yeah, actually more between New York and Berlin.
Berlin.
And I travel, and then I travel a lot, but my family live here, and I keep a home here, and it's really it's a great respite from the cities. You know, it's great to come down here and just kind of prepare my own meals. And
it's still so rural in a lot of ways. It's still out of the grasp of Atlanta. I love it. So you're cooking at home?
Yeah, I cook a lot. Mostly lunches. It's kind of so embarrassing that Brian Kemp became the governor.
How did that happen?
I mean, because the state is gerrymandered, and
because
he was in charge of who could and could not vote.
For a very long time.
It's pretty embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing
that he's from Athens, actually. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And he's kind of my age. And that's
I want to say he's like Oconee County.
He was one of the ones I wasn't able to turn, sadly.
No, you had success with others.
Through my influence. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's 2019 now, so it's already a little freaky out there, but we're hoping for a betterment.
It won't last long, and I don't think we've heard the end of Stacey Abrams.
Don't think so either. I think her ascent was great, and she carries herself with such a poise and honesty. And
she's just really smart.
She's really smart. So
good, smart people.
I think we're seeing changes that are going to be lasting, but this is hopefully the last respite of some things that need to go away.
Is it respite or respite? I never got that.
I think it's
respite. Either.
It's either either. It's tomato, tomato.
If you're Canadian, it's respite.
Yeah. It's,
okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Respite. Yeah, I think it's respite.
Respite.
I'm going respite.
I'll take it.
Always been very engaged in politics, but you kind of gave up on Instagram for a while this year. Are you back on Instagram?
I gave up three times, I think. Got disgusted with it. When they sold to Facebook, I was like, fuck this. Can I say fuck in this? Okay, great. So I quit, and then I started again, and I decided to do a very public Michael Stipe Instagram, and it got very popular, and that felt, you know, nice for a while, like being able to share in that way. But I did it kind of as a joke. I mean, it wasn't really so much. I wanted my Instagram to comment on Instagram. So I did all these, you know, I have a very spectacular life, and I meet a lot of amazing people like yourself, but I don't often broadcast images of those meetings.
Right.
I'll take pictures because I've always taken pictures, but I won't then post them online or anything. So I started my Instagram account to do exactly that, with the intention of cutting that person's face out of the image so that my face was front and center and theirs was kind of, you would get half of Taryn Simon or half of Salman Rushdie or half of this or that author or you know, Kate Blanchett or whoever.
A lot of art openings and a lot of
actors and a lot of directors and a lot of writers. And I have a very lucky life that I'm surrounded by or I surround myself with artists and creative people. So that's really great. The odd athlete. But anyway, it kind of ground to a halt when they changed their
algorithm.
Thank you. And it became evident how much I read that book by Jaron Lanier. Do you know this book? He's kind of great. And I'm already, you know, I've been kind of a privacy advocate since I was a teenager, really. And I just felt really violated by the rules and regulations of Facebook.
Moore seems to come out every day saying that they really know a lot about us, which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
But
So I decided to just cut them out of my will.
And so that's your current status. You're done.
I deleted. I even deleted my private one.
So wow.
Even my friends and family don't get access to that. But it's kind of upped my. You know, I smashed my iPhone and buried it. And
where did you bury it?
I don't want to say.
Okay, good. The burial was private.
It was, yeah, it was cremated. And we used a flip phone for a while because I just got tired of feeling like I was being controlled by text messaging. And then I realized after 6 months, of course, that two of the most important relationships in my life, my mother and Patty Smith, were people by whom I primarily text and send photographs. And the iPhone for me was essential for that.
When you take photographs, what are you taking pictures with other than the iPhone?
Mostly the iPhone, but I'm pretty much digital. There are a few things, like I had a show last summer in Brooklyn of my photographic work and some plastic pieces that I had done around a book that I released called Volume 1. And for those, I specifically used the camera that I used when I was a teenager, which is a Nikon FM2 or FX2. And
okay.
I used black and white film. Exactly the same as I would have used in 1975,
yeah.
76, 74 is when I started taking pictures. But I did that with great intention. The idea was to kind of placate or finalize a desire or a feeling that I had as a teenager that I never completely expressed. And so I got that out of my system, and that felt really good.
Yeah.
So I shoot with film, to answer your question. I mostly shoot with my iPhone, and I love my 5S, you know, the little tiny one.
Yeah.
I finally let it go, and I graduated to a 10 something, and I got the smallest of the 10s because I think they're ridiculous. But the thing that people say is that the camera is so much better. That's all they can say about it.
The camera is really good.
You drop it all the time because they're clunky and large,
yeah.
And they're stupid.
Yeah.
But you drop it and they break, and you know they're not very good. But the 5S is the only one that they remade. It's a great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the camera's really a lot better.
It is really good. So, portrait mode's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool and how you can light it differently.
Does it actually change our faces and make us look better?
No, I think it just lights it correctly and professionally to the degree where hopefully it picks up positive aspects of us.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah. I don't know what positive aspects I have in my face anymore.
You have several attributes.
We're aging. We're aging.
Age is, that's a big part of it. And it's really actually, I feel like I'm partly here to make age okay for my generation or for people just younger than me.
That's, you know, yeah, your generation, you're 10, 13, 12 years older than I am. Mm-hmm. So I remember listening to your band, R.E.M. Mm-hmm. Geez, it's funny. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for 2 years, and we lived in Garden Hills in Lower Buckhead. And you know, went to the pool in 1983, which was right out in the corner of the house. And all the lifeguards were going to take this trip to Athens to go see you guys play.
Mm.
And there was a lot of excitement because Chronic Town had been out. And
we got a lot of lifeguards in the early days.
Yeah, you guys were big in the lifeguard set, which is good because they can save lives.
Good for me.
It's really good. But yeah, and then the ascent of it, and then living here in Athens, it's funny. It was very meaningful to me where. One of your compatriots, Bertus Downs, who's a dear friend of mine, and yourself were at the opening night of 5 and 10, my first restaurant, which was so sweet to me. So,
well, we wanted to be there to support your dream and your vision.
My dream
and see
aspirations,
it through.
Yes.
And look at what happened. Look
and then you one you. Time brought Ben Affleck in, and I
did bring Ben in, you're right.
It was hilarious because somehow in the nascency of text messaging, there were also like 50 sorority girls outside the restaurant waiting to see glimpses of Ben.
How did they find out that he was coming?
I have
coming?
No idea.
Well, I didn't tell him.
And, it was like text messages, like somebody saw him at Buckster
someone saw him
or something
and,
like
that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so. He passed through. Yeah.
He passed through quickly.
You know, in Athens casts a long shadow. It's hard to get away from... You know, the music and the music scene, but it's particularly hard to get away from R.E.M., I think. And that's not an altogether bad thing, you know.
No, it's not a bad thing.
We had our moments.
I think you guys had many moments.
Several moments and some really good ones.
But then also the winding up of it was so classy in so many ways.
Thank you.
I guess the last tour was 2008.
Yeah.
But 2007, I saw a number of the shows in Dublin when you guys did
the Olympia, which was
an amazing theater.
And, yeah.
Those shows were so great. But then I also remember the show in D.C.
That's when I quit Microsoft forever, those shows, because I got a virus through Microsoft. And when I was on stage trying to sing these new songs for the first time ever in front of yourself and various friends and people that had flown in, and, of course, the Irish, the Microsoft virus kept fucking up my written lyrics and flashing, like covering with windows, covering as I was trying to sing these things for the first time. It was so frustrating. And that's mostly what I take away from the Olympia, actually, was how much I fucking hate the
viruses of Microsoft. Yeah.
So I deleted it never to use it again. I also don't use, Dropbox. I had to tell a friend last night, like, send it to me, through WeTransfer.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dropbox is one of the ones that Edward Snowden basically said, if you have any concern about privacy,
don't use that.
Don't use Dropbox. Don't use Facebook. Don't use Google.
Noted.
Yeah. Get rid of your Gmail account.
Get rid of your Gmail account?
Yeah, that's Google.
Yeah.
They're not altogether bad. But, in fact, I think Google are doing some really interesting things that are going to appear in 20 or 30 years. But in terms of how much access they have to the
information
the daily in and out of our lives, it's the warp and weave of our daily existence. I think it's really an overreach.
Yeah,
a correction will happen. Perhaps it won't. But at this point, I'm going to follow Jaron Lanier. His, you know, 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now.
Yeah, it's very hard to get rid of them. But yeah, I mean, emotively, you're so attached to them, but then also it's literally hard to delete them. Deleting Facebook is like a process that takes months.
I've never been on, so...
Just for the restaurants?
I only know it has 3 columns, right?
I think it's got 3 columns, a lot of pictures of cats. And now they have that portal where you can, like, give it to your grandparents and stuff like that and see them over Facebook every day. Yeah. That sounds like purgatory.
Wow, I didn't know about the grandparent portal.
It's a weird portal. It's
right out of Being John Malkovich. Right?
Yeah. I do like a number of people, including Mike Mills on Twitter, who's very espouses a lot of politics and really interesting stuff. But there are always some interesting people like Chrissy Teigen, I find is really outspoken, J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, Killer Mike, all those people are really interesting.
I know Killer Mike. J.K. Rowling is the writer who wrote Harry Potter, is that right?
Yep.
And then who's the first person?
Chrissy Teigen, the model. She married to John Legend.
She's a singer,
very,
right?
Yeah, she posts very cute pictures of her kids, but she's also extraordinarily hilariously outspoken on politics.
Oh, good.
So,
is she on the right side of things?
She's on the very right side. The correct side, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
We are the majority after all.
We are the correct.
At some point, we need to kind of acknowledge that and just get done with all this foolishness.
Oh, we know which side of history we're on. We just have to make sure it comes out that way.
History is a long way off.
Yes.
We need it now.
We're also living it right now. Hopefully. Hopefully it's changing. Up until about 5 years ago, I always had trouble figuring out what underwear were be comfortable. And then I found MacWeldon.com, and I've been buying them ever since. Now they support the podcast. What goes around comes around when it comes to underwear. We go to MacWeldon.com, MacWeldon.com, and enter promo code HUGH and get 20% off your first order of men's basics, boxer briefs, undershirts, t-shirts, socks. They have amazing ones made out of antimicrobial fabrics that reduce odor, they're wrinkle resistant, and they're really premium fabrics. They're amazingly comfortable. So if you need new underwear, which trust me, you probably do, go to MacWeldon.com now and stock up on some good men's basics. What would it be like if we all listened more? Listening to audiobooks inspires us, motivates us, and even brings us closer together. At least it brings us more knowledge. And there's no better place to listen than Audible. Get your first audiobook free along with two selected Audible original titles and exclusive fitness programs when you start a 30-day trial. So take the time to listen on Audible. Just visit audible.com/HUGH, and get listening. So tell me about the food of your youth. What do you remember about food? I mean, you traveled around a fair bit growing up and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I was always within spitting distance of an army base because of my father's job. And I mean, the food that I really remember was when we were stationed in Germany. And that was just such a magical, odd, exotic at the time. It's still exotic. I mean, I live there still in a very different part. In fact, the next time I go, I'm flying into Frankfurt, which is where we lived. I'll visit the old home there in Hanau. Hanau's the kind of suburb outside. It's a small hamlet outside of Frankfurt. During World War II, they told Frankfurt to turn off all their lights, and they told Hanau to turn on all their lights. So it was decimated.
Wow.
Bombed to shit by us. But and then an army base grew up there, sprouted up there, and that's where I lived. But it was so exotic and wild. And so I remember things like canoodle and schnitzel and, you know, sauerkraut.
And do you still like that food?
Yeah, I love.
Yeah, I love schnitzel.
I like a good pork schnitzel. We were talking earlier before we turned on the microphones about how many people perceive me as a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Because I was for 20 years.
Yeah.
An important 20 years. From 20 to 40, I was completely vegetarian. And now I'm what I call vegan default.
Right.
Which is that I eat a lot of little fishies.
Right.
Little anchovies and sardines for the omegas. And I really like the taste of them. And mackerel. So I eat a lot of tinned fish, like cartoon hobos, you know. But
Lisbon and Northern Spain, Galician hobos.
Yes. Yeah.
That seafood is so good.
It's the best. And it's, you know, it's really good for you, and it's really sustainable from the oceans. And, you know, the mercury levels are non-existent, and the plastic in the fish, whatever, all the crap. You don't really have to think about that very much. I swim with sardines when I'm in the Mediterranean. They're wonderful little fish, and I don't think they mind me eating them that much. But I'm vegan default. I prepare lunch most days for myself, and then I usually go out to a restaurant for dinner. And at that point, if I see something that looks good and once walked the earth or swam the seas, and I feel a craving to eat it, then I eat it.
Right.
But I really don't, I actually don't eat meat very often. And I'm very particular about what I do eat because I have a lot of allergies. I have a lot of food allergies, and they're getting worse.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the world. It seems like the rest of the Western world suddenly has all these
aversions and allergies and we thought it was just meant to piss off chefs, but it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
So we're, as chefs, I think we've reacted to it better than we used to. What's hot in New York food? What do you like there? I love a restaurant called Atla. Have you been to Atla?
No, yet? What is it?
It's a little Mexican inspired place, kind of lower midtown. And it's the same chef as Cosme.
Okay.
And it's who's a Mexico City chef who's got two outposts here, but it's a woman who runs it for him, and it's the most beautiful food. I think you'd really like it, and really straightforward, but beautiful, beautiful food. Very light, airy kind of food.
I went to a light, airy Mexican restaurant in Copenhagen. It sounded like what you're describing.
Rosie Sanchez's place?
I think it's on a
corner. She used to be the pastry chef at Noma.
That's right. That's her.
And she, Rosie Sanchez.
Yeah, it's really great.
She's amazing.
It's on a corner.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. And it's got big windows. It's very, you know, it's very Danish.
She's a brilliant, brilliant chef. She's originally Mexican and was Rene Redzepi's pastry chef for years and then left to go do that. And I think Rene's somehow involved there.
I like Seamus Mullen. I like his vibe, and I like his cookbook is really great.
He's a good guy.
And
he's gotten healthy.
There's a somehow. He has, yeah. He looks
he's
great.
Gotten really healthy.
Yeah. Well, he had to. He was.
He had he to. Was he really, was dying. Really
sick. Yeah. But that kind of informed the choices that he makes as a chef, and so you see that at Tertulia and the chicken place that he opened. I don't eat chicken, but the chicken place that he opened is supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
There's a there's another cookbook that's really beautiful, and the writer is named Divya, and she has a Ayurvedic vegetarian restaurant on First Avenue, I think it's in the East Village.
Okay.
And called Divya's Kitchen. And she has a book out that's really beautiful. It's really thoughtful. It's kind of along the lines of what Gwyneth Paltrow is putting out. Her next cookbook is not unlike Divya's cookbook. So it's about making healthy choices but using like the best ingredients and putting them together in weird ways.
Yeah.
And Seamus does that as well. Mario Batali, our mutual friend, always did that. Like finding things that are interesting ways to combine fat and protein and sweet and bitter and mixing the, you know, it's what you do. It's what I love to do in my own kitchen.
So, and there's another restaurant I love there. Have you been to Via Carota?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
well, I love those too.
That and Buvette is across the street.
I've known Jody since she first came to New York, through Mario, in fact.
She's amazing.
She's
and
amazing.
Just design aesthetic wise. Yeah. So cool. Yeah. It's so authentically comfortable and
they're
just
good.
Natural.
Yeah, they're great. And then Rita has Isodi on Christopher.
Yeah.
Isodi
is great.
Rita is her partner and our wife. And, and then she has Buvette there on Grove.
She's got a Buvette in Paris.
And there's
as
a Buvette in Paris, which I haven't been to. I think it's in the Marais.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be amazing.
So well, they're incredible chefs.
Yeah, really. And great knowledge of wine. It's just everything's really comfortable about it. Music. What are you listening to these days?
I don't really listen to music that much. I went and saw Nils Fromm perform in Berlin in what was it was built by the communists, a giant radio station performance hall for orchestras in the former East. And it happens to be where he has his studio. So he moved a bunch of his gear down into the room and people sat on the floor. And he actually filmed and taped it for what's probably going to be a future film or a TV show or something.
Very cool.
But I like Nils Fromm a lot. And I listen to music that doesn't require that I get pulled away from whatever I'm doing. And music is, for me... it's kind of a roadblock to the rest of the world, you know, when it's pop music particularly.
Right.
So I like classical music. I like ambient. I like heavy dub. I despise reggae. I despise bluegrass. I find them both very agitating rhythms and types of music, forms of music. But Dolly Parton gets a pass on bluegrass.
Dolly Parton gets a pass on everything in
but
life.
No, yeah, actually, in fact.
She's amazing.
She should run for office.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm trying to think of music I've been listening to lately. I bought the Diva soundtrack. Do you remember that movie, Diva?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
The big surprise at the end when the guy's headphones come off and he's listening to opera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big opera fan throughout the whole movie. But yeah, and that soundtrack is really good. It's very ambient and very interesting. But yeah, been listening to a lot of Brian Eno and Glenn Gould and things like that these days.
What about The Blaze? Do you know them?
No.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Blaze. Okay.
French.
Okay. So music, it's everywhere.
I went and saw Cat Power perform last month in New York. I saw Tom York perform in New York in Brooklyn. That was a really good show.
Cat Power's career has been really interesting. I think she's just so amazingly powerful now. And I find like she almost went completely batshit crazy back in the day, but she righted herself through all of it.
We were dogging Georgia earlier because of the horrid gubernatorial choices that were made, but and the sadness of Brian Kemp being from Athens, Georgia. But it's really great that Sean is representing the other Georgia, you know, on our behalf. And I guess Childish Gambino and a bunch of other people are doing a pretty good job of showing the other Georgia, like the Georgia that people don't see when they look at
Killer Mike.
Red and blue map.
Killer Mike's Killer coming Mike. Out with a show on Netflix next or later on this month.
Yeah, he was a big Bernie Sanders advocate. So
he was a huge Bernie fan.
Big place in my heart for Killer Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. So who's got a chance politically on the Dem side for you?
You don't want to know the answer.
Elizabeth Warren?
No.
No?
No.
Are you going to tell me?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no clear front runner, honestly.
There's nobody there.
No, there's no clear front runner that I can see at this point.
No, it's too early. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's I think we all know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. We find ourselves in this really precarious position.
No
easy way out.
What's the? You're wearing a Mueller button right now.
I am.
Now.
That's Bertus gave me that. Yeah.
We're hopeful. It's funny that you've been so such an activist in progressive politics over the years. And some things, some of that activity and activism affected change for the better. We've gone through a lot of change culturally in the last 10, 15, 20 years in the United States, definitely in North America. One really big thing that you advocated for back in the day was Aung San Suu Kyi her freedom. I mean, what's your take on her just being quiet in Myanmar?
It sucks.
Now?
It's really.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. I don't know what it's about.
She just left the whole.
Yeah.
And that's where all the Rohingya Muslims are being persecuted. But
I was invited to Bangladesh in November to, I chose not to go for a variety of reasons. But there's. What's happening there is really nothing short of genocide, and her not addressing it on any level is really confounding.
It's very confounding. So yeah, well, crazy world. So why Berlin these days? Why are you spending so much time there?
It's my boyfriend is French, and we didn't want a place in Paris, but we wanted somewhere outside of America for sure, and out of New York, and. So I had worked with REM on a couple of records in Berlin, and Thomas came and spent time there, and we both just fell in love with the city. I had a sense, the early 2000s, I was there with Jim Cohen for the premiere of Benjamin Smoke, the film that he made about Benjamin from the band Smoke, our great dear former friend also from Georgia, from Atlanta. And the Opal Fox Quartet. And I remember coming out of a screening late at night and walking back to my hotel. This is probably in 2001. And there was 3 feet of snow on the ground. It was the second biggest snowflakes I'd ever seen. And looking up at these buildings, and I don't like the cold and I don't like snow particularly, but there was something about that moment. I thought to myself, someday I'm going to live here. And 14 years later, that turned out to be true. So we have a place there. It's just a great arts community. It's a great relaxed city. It's got really good water. It sits on top of sand, so the water percolates up through the sand, and it's very clean, and it feels, it just feels really good there. There's a freedom. That Germans in particular, that Germans in general have, but that Berliners in specifically have, that's really refreshing to an American or North American gaze. And so being a part of that, kind of integrating ourselves into that, is something that it's taken a few years to feel like we're really there, but we're there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Great design.
I love brutalism. I love... a lot of stuff was rebuilt after World War II, and I'm a Capricorn, so everything I like things that really make sense, and the Germans are really good for making sense. Like things make sense.
Yes.
When it comes to design choices, when it comes to why would you do that when you can do this? Would you create?
It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obvious, exactly. Yeah. Why would you create a 40th flavor of toothpaste? We have 39 that are amazing.
Right. Yeah.
That kind of. That was a terrible analogy, but...
Well, I'm not buying into the 40th toothpaste.
I don't even like toothpaste. I never did. As a kid, you asked about what I ate. I never could use Crest toothpaste. It made me throw up, which was, that was not a good thing when you're brushing your teeth.
You get fluoride in the water.
The taste of it, I don't know. There's something about the taste of it. And Tide, I could never use Tide. It made my skin break out in red rashes. I was a very sensitive child. That changed.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at Atchison, Atchison.Robinhood.com. Tell me how you met Patti Smith.
We met through Scott Litt, who was a producer that worked with her and worked with her and her husband, her former husband.
And worked with R.E.M.
Sorry, not her former husband, her late husband, Fred Sonic Smith. And also worked with R.E.M. He produced 5 of our albums. And Scott kind of tried to get us together. But it didn't really happen until 1995. And my band was on tour and we were going through Detroit. And she was there and recently widowed. And I think considering moving to New York to work, because she had to work to support her 2 kids. And the band came through, and I reached out to her. And I reached out to her that year, but I reached out to her to say, won't you come to the show? And that's the first time that we met. It was almost 20 years after Horses came out, and after I bought Horses the day it was released, and was a lifelong fan from that moment forward. Getting over being a fan and becoming friends was something that she was very tolerant and very wonderful about. But I'm sure I was babbling for, you know.
That's not always easy.
You know, you have to pinch yourself. When you meet your heroes and they're not just horrible people or uninteresting people or boring people. In fact, they, in her case, are, you know, she's one of the most fascinating, one of the most intelligent, one of the most funny.
Her books have been, that she's been putting out, are amazing.
I've ever had the pleasure to spend time with. And so even just last night, she reached out to my mom to wish her a happy birthday. She sang to her from the Fillmore in San Francisco.
That's great.
Really sweet.
Was she playing at the Fillmore?
She played the Fillmore last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So she's still touring a little bit.
She tours, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't use the word still. I don't like that word.
Well, not still. I just didn't realize she was touring.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Well, Michael, it has been good to catch up. And good to talk.
We touched on politics. We touched on the band.
Politics.
Talked about the band. Talked about Athens. Talked about Georgia. Talked about
politics.
Food.
Yep.
Talked about Patti Smith. We talked about the Olympia. What about you? What are you doing?
What am I doing? I've been doing a lot of writing. I just wrote a new book on sous vide cooking. Now I'm writing a book on how to teach kids how to cook.
On what cooking?
Sous vide, like putting food in a bag in a circulator bath.
Oh,
the prescribed temperature that makes it perfect for whatever it is. Commonly used in French kitchens and things like that way back when, but it's very popular in fine dining kitchens now.
Okay. In a plastic bag or a paper bag or what kind of bag?
Plastic bag. Oh. Food grade plastic bag.
Okay.
You can see that little stick thing sticking out of that pot.
Yeah.
So it's like that.
In the kitchen there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then working on this other book, which is ancillary to my foundation I started that rebuilds home economics curriculum for middle schools, for public, private, charter, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm putting that into a book that you'd send somebody away to college with. And it's kind of realizing food through the basics of technique and like a Lego set. Each piece of Lego is a different skill set in the kitchen. How you put them together is up to you. But as long as you know all these blocks, that you can have a successful life cooking for yourself.
Well,
so doing that and running restaurants and coffee shops, and that's about it.
Well,
yeah.
That sounds thrilling.
I doodle a lot.
Doodle? Like doodle. Literally drawing on like pieces of paper?
Doodle coffee pots.
Oh, there's a coffee pot like that you doodle. Okay, that's
a
good one.
Percolator.
from the 1960s.
Yeah, nobody uses those anymore.
No.
But you don't drink coffee.
I drink decaf.
You drink decaf?
Yeah, I kind of stopped caffeine.
That's a good thing.
I stopped sugar. I stopped, carbs sugar? For a while. Yeah.
Completely?
Completely stopped sugar, yeah. I just did it. I mean, maybe I'll have a little bit, like once a week, but, you know.
Like the head of a gummy bear?
No.
Just the feet?
Yeah. Yeah, the little toe of a gummy bear.
Yeah, it's hard to discern whether I have toes.
No, I don't know why. I just did. It feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Artistically, what's caught your eye from an artist recently? Did you go to the show at the High?
No, what is it?
The Japanese artist woman Kusama. Mirrors.
Kusama, the yes. Infinity Mirror.
Yeah, Infinity
Mirror. Infinity Rooms is what they're popularly referred to as, but that's not what they're called. No, I didn't. I went to, in the U.S. Louisiana is the contemporary art museum outside of Copenhagen in Denmark. It's on the water. They have one of Kusama's Infinity Rooms there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Much shorter lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go to Denmark.
Fly to Denmark for a shorter line.
I mean, I saw the Warhol at the Whitney. I've seen a bunch of shows in galleries that impressed me a lot recently in Berlin and in New York. I recently bought a piece by Sophie Talbert Arp. I'm mispronouncing her name for an English-speaking audience, but I can't see her name in French, but her husband was Jean Arp. And she's this extraordinary... and it turns out that Bradford Cox... shares
Deer Hunter.
From Deer Hunter, shares a love of Sophie Tower Arp and Lonnie Holly. Turns out that those are two things that Bradford and I share in common.
I've been reading all about Cy Twombly lately.
Oh, yeah. I met the guy who...
Very interesting.
Tamal, my boyfriend, had a show in the south of France this past July of his work. And the other show that was up was a Twombly photographs.
Yes, and his photographs are amazing.
The guy who's in charge of his, who's the executor of his estate, was there, and he's beautiful, this guy. Just one of the best people you've ever spent, you know, a meal with.
Yeah, Rauschenberg and Twombly had an affair for a long time.
Yeah, they were an item.
And,
Rauschenberg took one of the best photos I've ever seen of Twombly.
Yeah.
Standing in front of a giant hand sculpture.
Yes.
Can you picture it?
I can picture that.
I think it's a thumb for some reason. No, it's not a thumb. It can't be, but it's probably Hindu, I think, or Hindi. It's Cy Twombly standing in front of this giant hand sculpture shot by Rauschenberg. You can do a search online. Please search on DuckDuckGo and not on Google for this, but you can do a search on DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo.
And find that picture. But that guy was beautiful. We had a few meals together there. Not bad, anyone you meet in the south of France is going to be interesting, but
was he from his widow's family or any affiliation with the family?
More of an affiliation, I think, with Twombly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, they knew each other for a very long time.
That's great.
And so those were two really good shows. And then our friend from Dublin, Googie, who's a great, great friend of Bono's and Gavin Friday. He and Gavin Friday started, the Virgin Prunes.
Okay.
That band. The first Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. So that's Googie. He had a show of his sculptures. It was and they all opened at the same on the same weekend. So that was really quite exciting.
You live a wonderfully crazy life. It's good. Well, Michael, I will let you get on.
Yeah,
to your
Hugh,
day.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun, and cut it together and make me sound smart.
Well, I'll put in smarts
and
later.
I'll see you soon. Okay.
You sounded great.
Thank you.
This episode of Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot was taped on location in Athens, Georgia, at my apartment, by me. Scott Porch produces the show for Himalaya Media, sound design by Alex Ramsey, and editing by Mackenzie Mazzell. Please follow Hugh Atchison Stirs the Pot on Apple Podcasts, the Himalaya app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like what you hear, please rate and review on your podcast app and come back on Tuesdays for new episodes. And if you have the Himalaya app, you get it a day earlier on Monday. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Hugh Atchison.